I'm Christine Marie.
I'm Julie.
And this is the More Life with the Girlfriends. This is A Good Life with the Girlfriends.
Yes.
It is all about, and we are the girlfriends. And there are some dudes who are official girlfriends.
Right, and we talk about everything that can help us have better lives in many different ways.
Yes, and like, more lives.
Yeah,
and a
more
good life.
We're both certified coaches. I'm a former teacher. You're a psychotherapist.
I taught too.
Yes, and you taught
don't,
too.
Don't.
I know. I won't hold back.
Yeah.
And so we're here, kind of just, you know, sharing the mother-daughter relationship with everybody and how we can have a better life and a funner life and
a more fun life. No, I'm coining it now.
I've been plugging in Tony Robbins on my iPod a lot lately, and he talks about this idea, which we know, you know, setting intentions for every moment of your life.
Mm-hmm. But can I say something before I just want to say, I love Mr. Tony Robbins.
I do too.
And if he wants to come on Life with the Girlfriends, he's welcome to.
I love
anytime.
Exactly.
So there, I slapped it down, girlfriend.
Yes, if he was available
down the gauntlet.
A podcast, we're open for that.
Yes.
And so anyway, he talks about having an intention for the time span, and we know, you know, we set intentions all the time with law of attraction as well as other things, until you get crazy. And you're like, I'm going to just be in flow and let the universe or God kind of show me, like, what's my path. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna force everything.
Mm-hmm.
Except sometimes it's necessary to force something. And so my guy, Doug, he's going to Ireland this week with his daughter. She's studying abroad. And that's what he said. And
that's what she said.
That's what she said. He's not the man that likes change. And if he feels he doesn't like to play out of his comfort level at all, and if he does, he gets real frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, I'm gonna ask you, what two words would you like to represent this trip? I said, because I think you can get caught up in the BS of it, like, mm-hmm. How do I get my money? How do I exchange money? How about the electrical stuff? And
it's all about the money.
Yes.
Money.
And he goes, I like to be happy and fun. I go,
no. That's kind of like fire bad.
Yeah, fire bad.
Fire bad.
Yeah.
Two words. Happy.
Happy, fun.
Okay.
And I go, well, you know what? Those are two things that you have 100% control over, how you feel about mm-hmm. this trip.
Right.
I go, so you can achieve that. And I think if you don't put yourself in stressful situations, like you said, I'm not going to rent a car.
Mm-hmm. He's not.
No. And
okay.
I'm like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. I think Ireland should be celebrating and having a parade for this, that he's not going to be renting a car. I think that it could just, you know. And so I was thinking about this, these times when we're meant to, and I hope you're open to talking about this today, but this idea about, you know, when we should play outside our comfort zone,
mm-hmm.
and how do we set ourselves up when we're going to play outside our comfort zone for success,
mm-hmm.
and also this idea of incremental change. We talk about that in our book, The Clutterfly Effect. You know, tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life, but it's a tweaking, because when we tweak it and we master the levels that we're at, we own it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you're saying this, because we, you know, you and I, we didn't have really a chance to ground the energy before the show because you were out. But I was listening to
and so were you, young lady.
I know. Go chastise me. It's a beautiful day here, though.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a perfect day.
It is. It's perfect.
58 degrees. I don't know. I mean, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Sunny,
but
beautiful.
On the way back home from the park, I turned on the you know, the oldies, and they played Dylan's, you know, The Times They Are Changing.
Yeah.
And I just, you hear a song, but then every once in a while you hear it with that third ear or the different ear or the, and you went, you know, boy, you know, the old guard is rapidly changing, and you know, if you can't lend a hand, get out of your way if you can't lend a hand. And it really is true. We have to keep tweaking our comfort level. We have to keep expanding, because as you get older, it is easier just to go, wait a minute, I don't want to know how to text. I don't want to know how to do that.
Right.
I don't want to know how to take a selfie or whatever.
Right.
You know?
Well, and because what's been going on in my spiritual path lately is the expansion of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And can that affect my brain? You know, we've read some stuff on Dr. Caroline Leaf.
Which I can, if anybody out there, Dr. Caroline Leaf, she's a neuroscientist and talks about the brain and what the potential that exists. It's just, really, it's a huge field.
Yes, and that the mind can change the brain.
Yes, the mind can change the brain.
And so when you get that and you believe it, mm-hmm. you are unlimited.
And,
go ahead.
No, but that's a perfect statement. However, what you learn first is that, I grew up, my mom, I say, hi, Mom, how are you? Depressed.
Yeah.
Depressed. I didn't even really know what it meant, but
no.
I learned that that's what you said. But people go, hey, how are you? I'd go, depressed. And I really didn't, but, the potential, the power of a negative thought on your brain actually damages your brain.
Yeah.
She talks about how, and once it starts, that thread, that cycle, where you just start going down and down and down, you get more and more damaged. And it is more difficult to get out of that spiral, but to know that it is a choice. And you, so what was the, how many days did she say it took to really ground a new positive behavior?
Behavior, knowledge base, anything.
Idea,
68 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that makes sense. Because in this day and age, we think 68 days is way too effing
mm-hmm.
long. And so we're not really allowing ourselves the time and the energy to have these changes hit
mm-hmm.
solidly into our body,
yes.
into our life, into our and when it does, you might have to change your whole life around when you get these new whatever.
When and you'd have to be willing to.
Yeah,
keep it.
I have I have my quotes a day, and just by chance, it's on December 22nd. Because I just flipped it open,
mm-hmm.
and it said, "Be the change you want to see."
Aww.
And the girl's name is Lala Shannon. I'm like,
I love it.
Lala Shannon or Layla, I don't know. I think it's Lala. Anyway.
I almost named you that.
Lala?
Mm-hmm. Lala Marie.
No, you did not.
I know I didn't, but I just, that's a
I'm like the wheels turning quickly in my brain as I'm thinking, oh, is that a possibility?
My mom said it was a choice between Christine Marie and Nancy Marie.
Oh, thank goodness it was Christine.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I would have fallen in love with you as Nancy, too, as well.
Yeah,
it's so funny, because growing up, you guys, off topic here, you always used to say
really
dad's
good.
Name.
What is the topic?
Yeah. change.
Yes. No, you can't say change. It's transformation.
Yeah,
come on.
I'm just done with all this, the hyperbole. I really am.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, and I know we have our book cover, but that's fine. Anyway, you told me that my grandmother, Grandma Marie, who I loved terribly, she was an awesome woman, named her last son Norman Eugene
mm-hmm.
because she wanted a girl and named it after Marilyn Monroe, Norma Jean.
And that's the story, and I'm sticking to it.
And then, I don't think that's right. Because when was Marilyn Monroe an actress?
In the 50s, I guess. I don't
know. So, like, after Daddy was born, right? Okay.
Also, too, Marie is a godly woman.
Yeah. She named after Marilyn Monroe.
She would not even know who Norma Jean Baker was.
That's so funny.
But
I just
love that story.
It's a great story. I asked
and
Aunt Irma.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And she's like, I don't think that's right.
Oh, sure. Go to the new matriarch and say.
She would know.
You're narking on me.
I know. I just said.
Yeah. So did you ever tell any? Do you remember growing up with Jimmy Dean's leather jacket, the leather jacket that he wore?
Yes, I remember that? The Jimmy Dean, yes, and I told everybody, oh, James Dean, it's his jacket.
Oh, yeah, I said Jimmy Dean,
Yeah, I know.
Everybody's going, the sausage guy?
I let it go.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell that story.
No. It was Jimmy Dean's jacket. You know, came off right off that cow he slaughtered for the sausage. That's a beef and pork sausage.
He took that leather jacket off a pig just before he... No, this was James Dean's leather jacket.
So let me guess, that is no longer a true story. All right. What about the UFO sighting in Florida? Was that a true story?
No, that's a true story.
That is a true story.
Yes.
Okay, thank God.
Yes.
I mean...
And all the alligators I spotted in Florida? True.
Well, I know, but that, I mean, you were in the Everglades. I would assume that you would have seen alligators. But it is interesting because as we grow up, I've had this childhood belief, too, about, you know, you wrote a story in your story, The Kiss, showed up in
Unwavering Strength.
Unwavering Strength, Volume mm-hmm. 2, you can get on Amazon. And
international bestseller.
That's right. So you're an international bestselling author.
I am.
And what was interesting is that my whole life, literally until, you know, as an adult, mm-hmm. believed this. That in The Kiss, talk about a priest. You were very sick when literally a month after I was born.
Right.
And you got real sick from a stranger kissing you on New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the hospital, a local small hospital.
He kissed me on the lips, but, you know.
Yes.
Not on New Year's. No, just kidding.
Sorry. Not on my New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Is that what you call it?
Is that what you call it now? That's what she said. I don't know. And anyway... During this time, a priest would come visit you, and he came visit you two or three times.
3 days in a row.
3 days in a row, and just you were able to just let it all out and talk about your past, your family issues, how to be a better mom, yada yada yada. He really steered. I think he was a marker. I thought he was an angel because he steered our family in one direction,
right?
And it could have gone into a different direction, and. And my whole life, I really felt he was an angel.
Right.
And a ghost. I mean, literally an angel.
Yeah, I know you did.
A ghost.
And I didn't know that you didn't. I did. I didn't know you didn't know that. I mean, I used to always say he's my angel. He was our angel.
But maybe you say that Father, I don't know what's his last
Rodiman.
Name. Rodiman.
Mm-hmm.
Father Rodiman, you know, the story goes, after the third day, you're like, oh, why didn't Father Rodiman come in?
Mm-hmm.
When does your priest come in?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, we don't have a priest.
Our chaplain.
That comes in and checks. Yeah. And then he goes, and the nurse goes, oh, you must mean Mr. Rodiman. He passed away. And I go, oh, so then my thought was mm-hmm. he was dead the whole time.
Oh, and he was still lurking in the hospital.
Yes.
Yeah.
But no, he wasn't lurking in the hospital helping any wee Catholic who kind of got knocked up before marriage. But then promptly got married. Then promptly got married,
yes.
Like a good Catholic girl.
Yes, promptly.
Promptly. So there was no real time delay.
No, oh no. And we all know that, you know, time is an illusion anyway.
Thank you. Time is an illusion.
It is.
Because that kind of goes with what I want, talking about with change.
Yes.
And so I brought up this idea about change
and tweaking.
And tweaking. And comfort zones.
And like it takes too much time.
Right. So I listened to this podcast with Tim Ferriss, The 4-Hour Workweek. I love his podcast. I'm a big podcast girl. I listen to it all the time. Different ones,
mm-hmm.
Some with guests, some with not, comedy mostly, and spiritual awakening stuff, you know, or you know, better yourself.
That is exactly who you are, though.
I am.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's hard. If here's that niche, comedy, spirituality, and...
better yourself, kind of thing.
Better, yeah, but how do you become the best you can be?
Yes. And sometimes that's just who I am right now. This is really the best I could possibly be at this moment. I remember.
Really? Yes. And then you go like this. To everything, there is a season.
That's my new phrase.
This season, this is the best you got.
I'm in this season right now, and this is the best I got.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, this season will end. Every season has a beginning and an ending, and this season, too, will end.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait for it to end, but mm-hmm. in the meantime, this is the best I got.
That's right.
But he was interviewing Rick Schrader, I think his name is. I thought it was Schroeder. When I go Rick Schroeder, I'm like, Ricky Schroeder? Awesome. I haven't heard of him in a long time. I'd love to hear, you know,
right.
Tim Ferriss interview Ricky Schroeder. Why would he interview him? You know, but he's a record producer
mm-hmm.
and been in the business a long time. Produced, when he was in college, LL Cool J's first album. So that's how long. And it,
wow.
you know, I think for $5,000 it made, you know, sold 900,000 copies.
Wow.
And I'm like, I'm a big LL Cool J fan. You know, love the one leg rolled up
oh, yeah.
on the pants.
Mm-hmm.
One down, you know, I need a around the way, girl, something like that. Okay, so I love that song. But anyway, so he's talking, and he's produced tons of people. Every name you would know: Beastie Boys, Slayer, Jay-Z. I mean, everything, right? Dixie Chicks, and he struggled with his weight. You know, a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he was like about 100 pounds overweight. And what I thought was interesting is that he got tired of it. And he said for 20 years though, he was a vegan. And he was a vegan and still was overweight. And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Because you're like, oh, the vegan must be really healthy
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Or at least skinny.
Really skinny. And he said he was just tired of being overweight and not feeling healthy at all, and was reading a story about this man who ran 1,000 miles in 10 days, and he was 53 years old, and he goes, man, at this stage I couldn't run around a block without feeling like I'm going to pass out.
Mm-hmm.
And in his book that he was reading, the guy who ran 1,000 miles in the 10 days commented about this one doctor who helped him change his diet that he thinks was the leading cause of why he was able to do this magnificent feat, right?
Mm-hmm. Just 1,000 miles.
Yes,
which days.
You know, it's so funny. I love these things that we, as humans, want to achieve that mean literally nothing for the global planet. Something you might want to put in the book. What is that book called?
Your bucket list.
Your bucket list. No, the book where like, oh, I can stack 1,000 plates on my head without them falling over.
Oh, the yeah. What is that? Guinness.
Yes,
yeah.
Book of World Records.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things. I mean, I think it's amazing that he can run 1,000 miles in 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's all also a publicity stunt, which I now, at the back of my head, think everything is.
Mm-hmm. Julie, you're so jaded.
I am jaded, but that's beside the point.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there was a doctor reference. So being who this man is, the producer, Rick, he calls up this doctor. And the doctor goes, oh, I just saw my last patient today. I'm no longer going to be taking clients. And he's like, well, what are you going to be doing? He goes, well, I'm going to be focusing on my music because I want to write songs. And Rick's like, well, hey, well, I can help you with that.
You know, see, if something happened like that.
I know.
Don't you think that's like, it's too good to be true. You've got to go with that.
I know. And I have to tell you, please just hear me out on this podcast, because this podcast has affected me in so many ways since I've heard this.
Mm-hmm.
It has gotten into my brain. What do they call that? A worm meme, where it just like
yes.
sticks in there, and you're like, oh,
yes.
Okay. So anyway, you get it. It's in my brain. And so they started a relationship, and the doctor helped him by this producer also slept basically all day long and got up at night. And was up all night long and just never got out of the habit, even when he didn't have to do that and
mm-hmm.
so forth. And so,
which that in itself is sort of cray-cray.
Yeah,
I can see why.
The circadian rhythm is off,
yeah.
right? Yeah, you can see that.
Yeah.
It's making you crazy.
Yeah.
And so the doctor ended up moving in with him for 2 years. And during this 2-year process, he got his sleeping habits back in place. He got his food in order, which meant some more protein, animal-based protein, and healthier, you know, more greens and, mm-hmm. you know, almond butter, and, you know, just organic and
things
like that.
So he stopped being a vegan.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But we ate very healthy and organic and lots of live stuff mm-hmm. and protein mm-hmm. and animal protein. And then, you know, 2 years go by and he's feeling healthier. And his friend goes, his doctor goes, you know, there must be something else going on with you, because anyone else who did what you do, because I see what you do, would have lost weight by now.
Oh, okay.
And I think he has something checked out. I don't know
mm-hmm.
what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he does. He just, because he felt good enough. He felt happy. He was able to move his body more, mm-hmm. and he was, you know, just mm-hmm. was healthier.
So he was experiencing incremental change.
Hello, ding, 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 ding. In two, as it was a two-year period,
mm-hmm.
and no weight was off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Because you would have thought that his end result, his goal-oriented body or, you know, mm-hmm. mind, that was the whole result, was to get some weight off.
Mm-hmm.
But it was for his health, and slowly he was owning it.
Is he still doing, like, was he still being a record producer
yes.
during this time? Okay.
And so a friend of his comes up to him and says, I know you work out every day. I know your diet. Go to my nutritionist. I'll pay for it, which is so funny because when you're rich, people pay for different things, right?
I know. I mean, it's so true. The richer you are, the more things you get for free.
I don't understand that, but it's true.
I don't understand the world, Julie.
I know. And so he goes, and the first thing she did, or I think it was her, put him on a high-protein, low-carb, but calorie-restricted diet.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was the first time ever he had been on a calorie-restricted diet. And
wow.
he lost 130 pounds in over a year.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the first time he ever had movement. And he says, you know, I would eat really healthy, but I would never count my calories.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're eating 4,000 calories, it doesn't really matter
mm-hmm.
what kind of calories they are after a certain
oh.
point. And so he lost this weight. And I thought to myself, here is an example of surrendering to the process, first
yes.
of all,
yes.
not getting too messed up with time, and not giving up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
gotcha.
I might have said after the two
yeah.
years, I'm good enough. Don't throw me to anybody else.
Mm-hmm. I feel better.
I feel better. This is the best I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because in his belief system, he said, I didn't think it was going to work anyway.
Mm.
But he was a good friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
and I told him I would do what she said I should do.
Mm-hmm.
So he surrendered to the process regardless
mm-hmm.
because somebody he knew and respected told him to.
And he allowed himself to surrender to the...
Yes.
I think sometimes... that's amazing because someplace, you know, deep down, you know, several layers down, there was this part that was saying, please let this work.
Yes.
Let's make this
let's
work this time.
Let's keep trying. You know, Tony Robbins talks about this phrase or this process of getting whatever you want, and it is, first, know what you want as an outcome.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want as an outcome?
Mm-hmm.
Then pick a plan, do something,
mm-hmm.
take massive action,
mm-hmm.
evaluate the action to see if it's working.
Mm-hmm.
If it's working, keep doing it. If it's not working, change the action.
Yeah. I mean, how simple is that, really?
Yes, and that's what this guy did.
Yeah.
He just
but
kept...
most of us don't do that.
No, and you know
why? Most of us just want to get out of pain.
Hello. If I had a bell, I'd ring it.
Mm.
You rang my bell.
Yes.
Because failure to most of us is so painful.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said to you many times, like,
yeah.
I just don't want to fail anymore.
Right.
And except that if you're out of your comfort zone, you're failing all the time mm-hmm. until it hits.
Yeah.
And
I've said to you, like, someday I'll get up and I'll say, you know, Mom, we get the whole day together. What are you going to do, right? I go, I just want to have some success.
Whatever it is.
Whatever we do, let's just call it that we had some success today.
And know? That's because you and I both, for the last 10 years of our life, have been on the edge,
mm-hmm.
have been pushing our boundaries.
Yes.
Except that, you know, you want to have the result in some sense. And sometimes, I know for me, mm-hmm. I will... I will not let something play out long enough to really evaluate my, or I'll change my goal. That's what I'll do. I'll change the goal.
Right.
So that I, because I'm not getting the results I want, so I can hopefully get some results I really want.
Yeah.
And
I think I understand that.
That's not the point. Mm-hmm. Or I'll change my tactic so much that it's like starting back at point
zero
again.
Yeah. And that discounts everything that you've learned.
Exactly.
You know, when I said about the success, like, for example, last week we put in about maybe 6 tomato plants.
Yeah.
And I bought these onion bulbs.
Yeah.
And for the last 5 or 6 days, I've been trying to plant them. Just,
yeah.
But Dad bought so many of them that we need a bigger planter. We've found something that can work.
Oh, did you? Good.
Yeah. But every, it's like, it's elusive being able to plant this now.
Yeah.
And every day it's like a little rock in my shoe.
Yeah.
That it's like, you did this, you're doing, but why can't you get those damn bulbs planted, those damn onions planted, you
yes.
know?
It's almost June.
It's crazy that,
yeah.
But why would that get to me? And so, you know, that's.
I totally get that.
You know, that, yeah. Yeah, really? That's good. That's
I
good.
Totally understand
yeah.
that because it's like not crossing the finish line.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
And you want to.
I need to.
Yeah.
Every day I need to have, some, you know, good successes, you know.
And even though we're tired and mm-hmm. our lives are big,
mm-hmm.
and that's the hard part.
Yeah, I think, you're right, because we do, I would call it what we do living on the edge in terms of, because we're always going to the next iteration, whether
right.
it be spirituality, you know, all of that stuff. And I think that's why, you know, a lot of times if you sort of just like, if you were an onlooker looking at our lives, would you know that? You probably wouldn't. You
right,
know?
Right.
It wouldn't be
obvious to you that
I don't think so, yeah.
Well,
but I don't know. I don't know.
This is kind of a secret. Not a secret, but, you know, I live with you and Dad. I love to. We have a big house. I'm totally content. And we have a rhythm to our lives, which is we talk about spirituality. We talk about even like studying the Bible and studying law of attraction, studying this and studying that. And I feel completely nourished in my home life.
Right.
And I also feel blessed that I have a guy in my life for the last, you know, 16 years, a long time, that, you know, up until now, because he's had kids and, you know, and so forth, we didn't have to live together, or the marriage was off the table in some sense, and that was okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm letting everybody know my past or whatever, my secrets. However, it was funny because we've been talking about building because we love to build homes, and you and I, you know, you
right.
and I do, and you have we have a camper, and I said, oh, and if we build a house, we're going to sell our house first, and we'll live in the camper for 6 to 8 weeks and or 12 weeks. Well, we get the, you know, get on our roof and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I call him my son-in-law because he's, you know, he's Hillary's husband, you know, and so forth. He's like, well, why wouldn't you just live with Doug? And I go, I had this panic attack. I'm like, oh my God, live with Doug?
As your throat closes up.
I'm like, oh, this is horrible. And it does, and I'm like, be diplomatic.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, because during this process, I have to be like right there on the Johnny on the spot, or do Dad's gig with trucking and all this stuff, and why drive an hour when I can just be there in 5 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
When the truth is, we don't have the same kind of flow.
Anything.
No.
Anything.
No, we don't. Mm-hmm. And I would feel, unless he could come up to my level,
because
I just let this fly, because I really believe in the Amish way of life, which is you don't have to get everything from your guy.
Is that Amish?
That's what I heard. I could be wrong.
You don't expect anything, don't expect too much from your mate.
Well, you don't have to get everything.
Everything that you need.
Right.
That's Amish.
Well, I don't know if it's Amish or not, but that's what I heard in this one story.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I love this. This is my life.
I mean, it's good psychology as
yeah.
well, you know.
I'm sure everybody can claim it, but I'm giving it threat to the Amish. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
but
so cute.
But just this idea that
thou doesn't need to get
everything.
all that
you
need
exactly.
from your mate.
No. You know, and so, and I thought to myself, if I'm not at work, you know, first thing in the morning, we meditate, we study separately, you know,
right.
we come together and we hash things out.
Right.
And we talk, and I bring up God or Jesus, and I brought up God or Jesus to him, and he's like, oh, he gives us exactly what he said to me a day. He said, because we went, you know, we went to a party a day for a graduation. It was they graduated from Catholic high school. And he goes, oh, those Catholics are so judging. I'm like, really? I go, I'm a Catholic. He goes, I know, but, you know, they're all so judgy. I'm like, all right.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, you know, it's just the spaghetti God in the sky. I go, spaghetti God? He goes, yeah, you know, make-believe spaghetti God. I'm like, all right. I go, you know what? You get to believe what you get to believe,
mm-hmm.
and I get to believe what I get to believe,
mm-hmm.
and all I know is that I believe I'm a spiritual being,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to take my journey and learn what I can learn and expand and so forth. But I feel that I can influence him by being who I am, but I also feel I don't have to.
Yes.
I don't have to lose that part of me.
Are you kidding
him.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Because he would win, because he would just say,
mm-hmm.
you know you're being ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to fend that off, mm-hmm. because it's a spiritual quest.
Yeah. Well, you can't. I mean, really, I've been telling you ever since I was a therapist, that you can never beat crazy.
Okay.
You never win at crazy.
Yes, that's my favorite phrase.
And it's so true, because, I mean, I've had many clients that have had, I don't want to call them crazy. That's not the legit term. But,
right.
you know, they have personality disorders. There's just no way
right.
that you can, in general, you know, can enter into that story and then play in there and then come out refreshed or better. You
right.
can't do it.
Can't do it.
You always lose.
Exactly. You always lose.
Yeah, so, I mean, not that... Well, I do. I would definitely think that he had a little bit of a.
Well, here's the other problem I have. I have. This is, in some ways, there is. I can see why it's natural to get married young and have kids right off the bat, and because if you wait too long before you get married,
mm-hmm.
you know way too much about people,
mm-hmm.
and then you're like, I just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, I love you. I love your family. And the way we have it now works perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anything more than that would make me
right, go crazy.
Yeah.
I know. I somewhat agree. I mean, and sometimes I look at some of these marriages that, you know, the people are evolved. They're, you know, it looks good.
Are you saying evolved with bunny ears?
I don't get that, unfortunately. What do you? Oh, evolved.
Yeah. Evolved.
What is it? Oh, bunny ears. No, no, no. I know what you mean.
Okay.
No. Duh. But yeah, I look at that and it feels, you know, wow, that feels good because we just got thrown into it.
Right.
You know, and,
okay.
And like, even now, I can say to Norm, God, don't give me that stuff. I know you, you know.
Right.
I know you since you were 18 years old.
Right.
You know. But I can understand, like, how some of these guys, they switch wives to, you know, younger women because the younger girl doesn't know anything about the guy. She just,
yeah.
you know, she thinks, oh, he's a self-made man or whatever.
I call it the Petraeus syndrome.
Ah, I like it. I
yeah.
like that.
I know it happened way before Petraeus, but
yes,
you know.
But that just the name though doesn't that
yeah,
sound
Petraeus.
Wild?
It sounds with a B, but it, yes. it was a B of Petraeus.
Yes,
yes. It's just this idea that you have this younger woman,
mm-hmm.
you know, who comes in and interviews you and is on every word that you say,
mm-hmm.
and you're so interesting.
Mm-hmm. My, you're so interesting.
You're
sir.
So interesting and so powerful.
Yes.
And oh,
and you'll take me out on a date.
Yeah. Oh wow. And and my God, you have so many great stories, and. You know, oh, you have a wife and family at home, but you know what? she doesn't get you the way I get you.
Yeah, I hear you're sort of separated.
Yeah, I heard you're sort of separated. Right, yeah. Or you have an arrangement, you know.
Well, you kind of had a friend of a friend that has a similar story, but he's sort of dating this woman on the side, or
well, yeah, he was. He, I mean, he's in my circle, like my third ring out circle,
mm-hmm.
And. You know, he really caused havoc in everyone's lives.
Oh, I knew that was going to happen, though.
Because he just couldn't keep his mouth shut.
Right.
And it made me so angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I was called in for advice, which is terrible because...
Well, I knew that was going to happen, too.
Because everybody's like, you're the sane one. Can you give me some advice on this? I'm like, okay. Because usually I take the hand like the woman usually knows, let it be. But at this stage, it was very weird because he had been telling my guy that he's been dating someone 10 years younger and, like, is in love and is in his mind working things out like, well, you know, would you want to go with, a 28-year-old or a 38-year-old and all this stuff. And
but keep in mind, though, he's got a wife,
yes,
two kids, and Catholic
young
family. No, this isn't a Catholic, but a very religious family.
Yes.
And then he finds this honey and
who has three kids as well, but
yeah,
and she's cute. I've seen her on Facebook. She's cute.
Yeah,
I trolled her, I guess, whatever it's called.
Yeah, but you know, but here's the thing that as a wife upset me. This is because this would have been
yeah.
this, is that you told me that he took her on this nice date.
Yes,
you know, they got dressed up, they went out of town,
yeah.
they had this nice.
This
meal.
Made me angry as well.
This spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, and as a wife that has stayed home through thick and thin and all of the, you know, the SHIT and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, there were winters that it was, you know, it was really cold in the house, and we, you know, I got flour and made, you know, biscuits and gravy, you know, just to keep food on, you know.
Right.
And to think that, you know, and his wife is very similar, you know.
Yes.
She's a hard-working woman.
And also, too, he complains to her about her spending any kind of money on anything.
Right.
On anything.
Right.
And so the idea that he spent money.
Yes.
And
that's the part that I felt,
I
the
totally
betrayal.
Agree. And that's a big betrayal as well.
Yeah, that's the betrayus in us.
Yeah. And then I felt like, you know, how dare you? I mean, you know, and I know that he probably felt great, you know.
Mm-hmm. King of the world.
King of the world. And he was
king
willing
of the forest.
To, it almost felt like a walk-in, because here, mm-hmm. that's an old term. Used.
I agree, though, because when you said that, what happens? Because if you're doing something, why do you tell your inner circle?
That,
why?
That made me crazy.
Because I think that is wanting to get caught.
Right. So anyway, one other person came to me and says, what should I do? Should I tell his wife what's going on? And I'm like, okay, well, what do you want to tell her? And I go, well, I want to tell
because
her
he,
that...
Because he was telling her that...
I'm working on the marriage.
I want to work on the marriage.
And let's go on counseling at the exact same time, literally the exact same day, he's confiding in people saying... I want to get divorced, and I can't. This is awesome. My life is. This is great, and I'm willing to lose. I'm willing to give everything to her,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that I could have this new,
mm-hmm.
improved.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, doesn't it cut you as a woman, though? That,
doesn't it?
Ah, it feels horrible.
Yeah.
And
oh,
Doug was
really
having a
does.
Hard time at figuring out why I would get so upset by this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, because it breaks up. It really hits every core that I am,
mm-hmm.
because. Here's the thing, if he wouldn't tell anybody,
mm-hmm.
his wife could just go on saying, okay, he had a lapse in judgment. I get it. We've got two kids, a house. I like his family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, mm-hmm. really like his family.
Yeah, she does.
You
yeah.
know, what? Let's just get over this.
But he told everybody.
Everybody. And now you have to work on everybody
now. Yeah, not just your marriage.
Yes.
But you have to work on... what, how other people see you?
Yes.
In that, and I found that so distasteful to tell everybody. And he was telling different people different things to different people.
Oh, exactly.
Some people would say, "Oh, I want to work this out," and he was telling your guy, like, you know, best sex ever,
and I'm not working this out. I'll give her everything.
Yeah, I'm ready to give up my children.
I know, and this is just crazy. And so, and what the advice I gave, and I said, you know, I wouldn't put my nose too much into this.
Mm-hmm.
I said, however, you know, you're very, it's your sister-in-law, basically, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't like how disrespectful she's being treated.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like she's being made a fool of.
And I think I know you came to me. I thought your advice was wise. We knew there was going to be fallout.
That's what I said. I go, if you're willing to take the hit.
Yeah, because you are going to take a hit,
yeah.
sir.
And say it once, and then I go, don't say it again, because then you're done.
Right.
Because everybody knows, and nobody, it's all.
Right.
And then it's like people want to just put their head
so
in.
So tell everybody what you said to do.
I said it was okay to just say, hey, you know, he's telling other people that.
No, but I think he went to him first.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm giving you. Okay,
that's what I said. Thank you.
24 hours. Yeah,
I said, I'm giving you 24 hours to tell your wife the truth.
Right.
And
otherwise,
I got to tell her.
We're going to go.
Yeah, we're going to go together.
Yeah.
But I'm giving her a chance because I don't get what you're doing here.
Right.
And
you don't seem like yourself.
my secondary advice is much worse. I'm like, just tell her. That's not what I said. And then after that, you know, big, you know, crap hit the fan,
yes.
for a brief second, and they're still trying to work the marriage out, and mm-hmm. still rumors are flying, and I just said, let it be. You've done
yeah.
your duty.
Yeah.
And it's not no longer your business how they weave this.
Mm-hmm.
They may end up being together, and that's okay, too. They all can choose now. But at that moment, mm-hmm. it just felt mm-hmm. completely wrong.
And don't you wonder, the guy, if he has any conscience of the crap that he spewed during this time? I mean, everything. He was telling everybody this, and he wanted to live with Doug so he could.
I know, he's crazy.
It was crazy. And do you wonder, like, man, why didn't I just keep my mouth shut?
I think.
Don't you wonder that?
Why didn't I
just keep my mouth shut?
I think it was two parts. One is he wanted to get caught and he didn't want to do it himself.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part is, he wanted people to know how virile he was.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me.
Look at me.
Look at me.
Look at me. I'm a man.
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, for heaven's sakes. And it just was it was a very odd time because everybody, and this is when you have to protect yourself from other people's crap.
Now, didn't his wife call his girlfriend up?
Yes.
And say, what are you doing or whatever?
Right.
And then the girlfriend said,
I thought you were getting divorced.
I
thought you were in the process, which is mm-hmm. always like mm-hmm. code.
mm-hmm.
We're in the process.
Code.
Maybe 2 or 3 years from now, but sometime.
But I always like it, too. They go, well, we're separated. Yeah, by, you know, just a wall or, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, by the space in between our bed, you know?
Yes, exactly.
In between us, exactly. So that, and the moral of the story is, if you're going to make a mess, try and keep it quiet.
Don't tell anybody.
Don't tell anybody.
Or have one excellent housekeeper.
Yes, exactly.
The cleaner.
That mess. Someone you can call.
Because in most circles, like in the circle that you hang out with, there, Louis C.K., was it Louis C.K. that was talking about, you know, some people tell everybody their problems except the person they should be talking to?
Yes.
I mean, that is in the circle that you play, that everybody knows everybody
right.
else's business except the person that needs to know.
Exactly.
It really is cray-cray.
I know, and that's not how our family works.
No.
We go, you don't tell anybody, but the person you're probably got an issue with.
Mm-hmm.
Or keep your mouth shut, and then usually in about a day, it's all
yeah.
gone anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Things are fleeting. But can I go back to the podcast with Tim Ferriss?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. We'll get there.
We'll get there. So I think we can learn a lot from this man because he's very successful, but I love the idea that he did not get caught up in time because and he allowed himself to keep tweaking his process to finally get the results he was wanting.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept following mentors.
Yes, yes.
And that is like the best way to get your results faster. Mm-hmm. Follow, do whatever the
mentor
had you did.
A mentor, like they say, you know, is not your friend. A mentor is going to say, you know what, you need to kick it up a couple notches. You're not stretching enough. You know, or a mentor will kick you in the butt a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And it's hard to pay for a mentor or for a coach that's mm-hmm. very good in claiming what they get, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a lot of bad coaches out there. I've had a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wait a minute, you haven't taught me anything new or helped me out at all, except I'm broke. This is not fun. Now I'm really motivated. Oh, that was it.
Oh, now I get it.
Now I understand. And
Can I say one thing that you told me?
Yes.
That I think this, as in the background of all this, as Julie's telling you about Tim Ferriss and this Ricky, whatever, Schroeder, whatever his name is that he only agreed to do it in a sauna.
Yes.
Now, come on. That is so awesome.
You. So, yes, thank you for saying that, because this has been the bigger thing that I've been focusing on after hearing this podcast. And one was, you know, Tim Ferriss says, this was the most physically demanding interview I've ever done. I'm like, physically demanding? What was this about?
Yeah.
And he goes, I could only interview him if I would interview him in his sauna that he has in his home. And it was 120 degrees, and then they would do cold baths filled with ice and rotate in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, just the visual of Tim Ferriss in a towel, I guess. I don't know.
Well, that was the thing. I'm thinking to myself, are you guys naked right now? Because it is California.
Yeah.
I've been to Northern California where clothing's been optional.
That's right. You That's where you got your massage training.
So I know
you
that.
You had to go naked.
Yes, I did.
And we had to have code words.
Yes.
I'd call you and what was it? Was our dead dog's name, Henry?
If I mention our dead dog's name, like, hey, how's Henry doing?
That means I get on a plane, I come right over there, and I rescue
trouble.
You from that nudist colony.
Exactly.
It wasn't
a nudist colony.
No.
It was
a nudist massage camp.
It was more like a spiritual school.
All right.
That taught massage therapy as one of the many, many healing
modalities. Yes.
And then in small print, very, very small print, said clothing optional. I really assumed that meant that most people would opt for clothing.
Because we're from Illinois.
Why would you not wear clothes?
Why would you not wear clothes?
This is craziness.
Except that.
Hey, don't wear clothes in Northern California.
Those were real banana. No, not banana. Rabbit ears.
Exactly.
Clothing optional.
In very small print.
Yeah.
And so... I'm
just picturing Tim Ferriss in a towel. You're picturing him naked.
I am.
Yes.
I'm thinking he's totally buck naked.
Yeah.
So, and when he's sitting on a towel, you know.
Of course. Gotta wear that. You've got to have a towel to sit on.
Sit on. And then, but, you know, when you jump into the cold bath, are you in a Speedo?
Mm-hmm.
Trunks?
I doubt it.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
And you know what? If that was the cost of admission to interview someone like him,
mm-hmm.
I may do it.
You
or Tony
it.
Robbins, maybe. I may do it.
Tony Robbins, I'm going to also issue my, we will do it in a sauna nude.
That's right. If that's the cost of admission.
If that's it.
Then we're there. We're there for that.
We'll do anything.
But... before I conclude this interview with Rick Schroeder, the idea that he just was a dog with a bone,
mm-hmm.
I just effing loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Because like that old saying goes, you know, you wouldn't stop a kid from learning how to walk because he failed the first 1,000 times.
Right.
You keep going till he effing finally walks.
You know, and that's like... You know, this is what you want your kids to have, character.
Yeah,
you know,
grit,
you want them to have
character.
Grit.
Yeah.
You want them to, you know, after they fall down, you want them to get up again. You know, you just want to keep doing that, you know. And the thing is, I'm kind of like that, except I would just like to not, like, go, oh, loser.
Feel that, not again.
Yeah, I'd like to kill that voice
yes,
in my head.
Exactly. I would too. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's just there.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just there.
We'll love it into non-existence.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and
because
I'm following, I'm really focusing on Carolyn Leaf's work.
Yes, me too now. Yeah,
and this idea of having 68 days mm-hmm. to bring in this new concept and own it,
mm-hmm.
that I think that's why I'm taking off the time limits on everything I do.
Just take off the time. And for me, I don't want to, like she showed the difference between a healthy brain and a brain that is sort of nourished on negative thoughts or crazy-ass thinking and stuff. You know, I don't want that.
Yeah, I agree. I don't either. I don't want an ugly brain.
Mm-hmm.
I want a healthy brain. And I love the idea that I can continue to grow my brain all through until the day I die.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have to let my brain degrade through age.
Mm-mm.
And
the fact that you can have, my favorite Bible quotes is be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
And so that your mind really does have this effect on the brain, and it can be renewed, it can be transformed.
Yes.
It really can. I mean, we joke about it and stuff.
Yeah, I know.
But if you think about where we've come, you know, just 20 or 30 years,
yeah,
it works.
Amazing.
It works.
It really does. It really does. So, girlfriend, anything interesting going on in your life this week? Anything you want to talk about?
Not really. I saw a 70s movie today. It was called The Carrie Effect, and it was like 1972. And, oh, my gosh, I didn't realize how slow, you know, things moved in a movie. And because, like, right now, I was watching, can't remember what we were seeing, but I was counting each scene, and it was like 1,001, change, 1,001, change. I mean, so, you know,
All those edits, yeah.
And I've written a couple scripts, and I used to write scripts that a page would equal a minute. You can't do that anymore.
No, right.
You cannot do that. I mean, it has to be 1,001, you know, switch. But it was just like, wow, this was the 70s. We really did talk like that, and it really was dreamy sequences, and we were like so cool, you know. We were a yeah yeah girl. I was a yeah yeah girl.
Yes, you were.
It was great, wasn't it?
It was great. Well, you know, and it was. We're not there yet, girlfriend.
I know. I'm just
you're getting close. You're getting close to the end of the show. And I'm going to put my next, this week, upcoming week, into two words. And those
happy, fun.
Happy, fun, fire, bad.
Bad.
And it was...
Happy, good, fire, bad.
And speaking of fire, bad, we had our woman come over that helps us clean the house up, you know, every week, do a good job, you know, real good cleaning. And I'm working, and all of a sudden I'm going, I smell gas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're right. The stove was on.
Yeah, the stove was on.
And I'm
yeah.
like, thank God, you know.
Thank God you had a good sniffer, because I don't.
And they put that in they put that little chemical in the gas to mm-hmm. get smell, yeah.
That's great, yeah.
But, so gas bad as well.
Gas bad.
Fire bad.
Fire bad, gas bad.
And happy fun week.
Yes.
Happy fun
Is
week.
Is that what you're going to have, a happy fun week, honey?
I'm going to have a happy fun week.
I want you to. You deserve it.
And we're going to set a date for this project that we've been working on.
Yes.
Going to give ourselves 2 to 3 weeks the most.
Yes.
And we're going to...
Julie and I have a project that we're working on, a pretty major one.
Yes, and we're going to have it complete and go away for the weekend.
And I promised that I would take my little girl away for the weekend.
Yes.
Does that sound like a date?
It is.
Kind
of. And I don't want you to tell everybody where we're going, because it's kind of a romantic place.
I know, we're going to a romantic getaway. Oops. Oops. That's too much information.
Too much information. Too much information. All right,
the things I got to do to get my projects done.
Hey, set a date. Well,
people, this is smart. If you're having a project that's not getting done, put an end date on it and then work towards that.
And then make a secondary date of what's going to happen afterwards.
Yes,
so
I always
have
that.
To move on.
Yes, I always make a date for after Christmas, because I'm usually like, bah humbug.
Yes.
And then I go, oh, but I get to go here afterwards. Yay!
Exactly. you make another holiday date for your Christmas date to get through Christmas.
Yes. Does that sound cray-cray?
Kind of. That's okay.
Yeah.
All right, everyone, thank you for listening to our podcast of just Christy, Marie, and Julie talking about .com.
And they can also talk to us at ChristyMarieAndJulie.com.
Exactly.
And they can buy The Clutterfly Effect.
On Amazon.
At Amazon.com. And you know what, Joe, I have to tell you, I got $2.71 from the United Kingdom last month.
International seller.
I'm Woo-hoo. Getting some international sales now. Holy cow.
Holy cow.
Holy cow. The Clutterfly Effect. Tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life. Thank you.
All right,
and
everyone.
It was great.
And it was great. Have a great week.
It was great. It was great.